blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 119, stanzas 1 and 111, stanzas 1 and 4. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1 and 4 of Psalter 111.
We wish to this afternoon to read from God's holy word from 2 Chronicles 15. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the stranger with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol, and stamped it, and burnt it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who dwellest in the heavens, and we upon this thy footstool, O give to us solemn impressions of who and what thou art, as we try to open our unclean lips unto thee, For there is nothing that can come forth from us that is holy and that is good and that is clean in thy most holy sight. But it is all filthy and it is all abominable except what thou wilt cleanse with thy own spirit and with thy own blood of thy own dear son, of thy own desires and thy own decree and thy own good pleasure. O Lord, we are so dependent upon thee and all thy long suffering and thy goodness and thy grace and thy mercy in order to continue in our life upon this earth. Oh, that we may feel a little of it in this hour and in these moments as we try to approach unto thy throne of grace in all of our own guilt and all of our own pollution and in all of our corruption. Ah, we have read out of thy holy word of thy servant who did lead thy people back again from ways of sin and idolatry. Oh, to make a blessed covenant together in their hearts and with their mouths to serve the Lord God only. Oh, Lord, thou hast given it in their hearts and thou hast given the opportunity to do it together and to bring it to pass and to bless them. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord. And we are also sitting in our own shame and with all the consequences of our own sin. Oh, give such a desire also in this day, in these moments, in the hearts of both young and old together. Thou art able to work it in every one of us. Oh, to give a desire to return from our evil ways. And to go back again, O Lord, thy servant did say, draw me, we will run after thee. Oh, then others also would go if our own heart could be just broken a little. And that we could be brought in the dust of self-abasement before thee. And with all of our guilt upon us. To look for a moment upon that shed blood on the cross of Calvary, in which there is forgiveness that thou mayest be feared. O Lord, thou knowest how full of mysteries the life of thy church is. Thy way, O Lord, is in the sea. Thou knowest from where that they do cry unto thee, from the places where that they are, saying, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Oh, that thou wouldst take them in their own devices. O Lord, the wicked plotteth against the just. The wicked gnasheth against him with his teeth. But is it not so that the Lord shall laugh at him? He seeth that his day is coming. O Lord, shall it not be the meek that shall inherit the earth and that shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace? O that it might be known, that it might be felt, O that they may be given also to follow thy own commandments if ye will not believe. Surely ye shall not be established. Oh, that thou may give a little rest unto those who are persecuted for thy own name's sake. The wicked doth persecute the poor. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the devil himself, that he would take away thy people from off of this earth. Oh, that thou wouldst stand against him, Lord, and that thou wouldst deliver that good man. For his steps are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Oh, that thou may look upon them over the length and breadth of this whole world. For they are oppressed by all those who are brought under the power of that prince of darkness. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee from heaven. Oh, did not Abijah of old
And when all that enemy had surrounded them on every side, oh, can we not read that they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord did deliver them out of all their troubles, out of all their distresses, as thy servant David was delivered. And when the enemies did come against him, O Lord, thou knowest the warfare here below, also in the heart of each and every one of thy church, who do fear to be destroyed, and because sin shall have dominion over them, and Satan does mock with them. O Lord, how impossible from their own side to leave it in the hands of the Lord who hath promised. Oh, that thou may give them calmness, Lord, in the way wherein thou dost lead each and every one through that sea. For the enemy shall surely be destroyed when thou givest that good ground unto thy own favored people. And Lord, thou knowest that there was no desert in them, but there was only that covenant that was sworn by thee, the word that thou hast spoken, and the favor that thou bearest unto all of thy own people. Oh, then they no man can touch the apple of thine eye, except that he come under the wrath of the Almighty. Lord, we beseech thee from heaven above, and that thou may look upon the poor, and that thou may deliver them from all their distresses. And let thou the wicked fall, O Lord, into their own nets, whilst they do escape. O Lord, deliver in thy mercy, forgiving all of their many, many sins. O care for our children in our youth. O give them to see out of this portion of thy holy writ the great blessedness of thy own people. O thou art so good unto them, so merciful, even despite all their iniquities and all their sins, and when they will only turn unto the Lord again, or when they may that they may be given to say it in their heart, oh, that I will go back again, or that they may be given like that prodigal of old, that he may think upon the house of his father, or that he might say, how many hired servants of my father, oh, they have enough and to spare, and I do perish with hunger. Oh, Lord, bring back sons and daughters, those sons and daughters of Adam who has departed from thee. Oh, bring us back, Lord, each and every one of us, also thy own children from ways of straying. Oh, Lord, we can leave thee. Oh, we can leave thee days without number, but we cannot bring ourselves back again. Oh, we must be drawn. And therefore, thy servant did ask it of thee. Lord, come thou, and thou art the first and thou art the last. If thou wouldest leave thy children, surely they shall perish, but they shall not perish. For thou forsakest not the work of thine own hands. O Lord, hast thou not said it, and shalt thou not do it? Hast thou not spoken, and shalt thou not make it good? O remember all our youth and our children. O teach them in the days of their childhood and youth. Show them all the blessedness of all that serve thee. Make their hearts to yearn for that good that thou bearest unto thy people. And look upon us when old age also has come upon us. Lord, so quickly do we have a hoary head. So quickly are we going bowed down over this world as seeking the grave. But Lord, when the fears may multiply, then it is felt in a natural way, more and more undeserving of the least of all thy notice and attention. Oh, bring that arrow, Lord, into the heart, that the old bones may bend, that the hands may fold, and that the cry may go out, oh God. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, remember all the oppressed and the needy in this world, those that have not enough to eat and to drink, to be clothed upon, to be sheltered, those who have with their own hands done wickedly and who have addicted themselves unto substances, unto pictures, unto awful sin. Oh, Lord, then they cannot return either in the power of their own strength. Oh, that thou would become too strong for them and that thou may lead them back again. Oh, gladden thou our hearts. Also, those who have been under thy services years gone by, Lord, bring them back again. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It is all of mercy and it is all of grace. Lord, remember all the afflicted, those that recover from accidents and from surgeries. Look on those that mourn. Thou knowest all the sorrows cast so suddenly into mourning. Supply and uphold also in the week that is to come. Look upon our mission field and a board that hopes to meet in the week to come. Oh, that thou may help them in every decision that must be made. And could it please thee to supply for the needs of those who desire to hear thy word brought unto them. Oh, that we may not be found in sloth, and despising the benefits and the gifts that are given unto us, and that it would never testify against us as we go over this world seeking the vanity and the pleasures of this world, while others are without thy word and yearning it. O Lord, convert us. Convert us unto thee, and by the most powerful work of thy Holy Spirit, look upon us in this hour. Oh, set us aside a moment, Lord, here in thy house, that we might receive a little quietness from all the turmoil that is round about us. Oh, Lord, for a moment, could it please thee to take it away, both in speaking and in listening. Oh, that we may be given to rest a little in thy holy word, and that we may be given to trust a little, that we may be given to believe a little, and that we may be given to glorify and to magnify thy thrice holy and worthy name, for who that thou art and what thou doest for the most wretched and miserable of sinners. Forgive our sins, we beseech thee, in the name of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 443, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, I will sing with rapturous rejoicing, and thy justice and thy loving kindness voicing. A joyful psalm, Jehovah, I will raise unto thy praise. 1 through 4 of Psalter 443. beloved congregation, last time we heard about the prophet of faith, and that is a very great prophet. It is very, very profitable, much more profitable than all the things and that we can seek for in this world. Do you believe that? Or does your heart go out after those things that can only be received not by money, not by labor in this world, for this world, but can only be received by faith? They are profitable things for our soul. And they are things that will make us children not happy only for this world, but that will make us happy forever, so that we can live in this world, but also that we can go out of this world. Is that not a happy people? That are able with comfort to walk under all the trials and tribulations that will come on them here below, which the wicked cannot do, but who are also able to lay on a deathbed and to despise that great enemy that prince of darkness has brought upon us in his temptation already in paradise. They are spiritual benefits, and they are of a great value. To whom? To the poor, to guilty people, to those who have come to know their own wretchedness and their own misery by nature. But what did now Christ say to his disciples? He said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And who goes in the front of that army? That is the devil. He goes in the front to cause, to bruise the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the church, that he would try to destroy them and to rob them of the prize that they have been given and the comfort that they have been given by that prize. And that is now the intent and the end of every error that Satan is bringing into his church. By the 1500s, the church was full of them. All kinds of errors. After 1500 years, and that Christian religion that was established in that New Testament time, and after so many years, the devil had been so very busy, and God's people, they were mourning over all those abominations. And then, just like in Egypt, and you read in process of time, the Lord is not doing things overnight so often. We have to wait. And God's people, and they have to learn to trust. That is not so easy. But in process of time, then we can read that their cry came up unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, that is, unto God, when he was in heaven. And then the Lord took care of his church. He took care of his church in the Reformation. And it is not as if then the reformers could just do nothing. No, they had to labor. They had to work. They had to fight for that truth of God. But it is only the Lord that could give to them that victory to deliver his people from the bondage of the Roman Catholic Church. And this is now what our fathers in this Lord's Day are doing. They're defending the truth that we have considered in the weeks that have gone by, that truth of the doctrine of free grace. Ah, was it a comfort to you when we may try in a simple way to lay it out a little bit? Is it sometimes a comfort, that free grace? And if we have ever tasted something of that, just a small part of that, then, and then to have that enemy come and try to destroy this doctrine, then we are going to feel something of that enmity in our heart also against this enemy. Because is that now relevant today? What happened in the Roman Catholic Church so many years ago? It sure is. Because Satan is not dead. Satan is not dead. And where is that Roman Catholic Church living, that is living in your heart and in my heart by nature? And thus he needs to be exposed. And then we need to show, for the sake of each and every one, that no man may be deceived, and also that God's people, they may enjoy that portion that is given unto them from the Lord. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24, which speaks about objections to salvation by faith alone. In two thoughts concerning merit of good works, in question and answer 62 and 63, and second concerning vigilance of pardoned sinners, in question and answer 64. So objections to salvation by faith alone, first concerning merit of good works, 62. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Because that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and in all respects conformable to the divine law. And also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Question and answer 63. What? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? This reward is not of merit, but of grace. Thus concerning merit of good works. Second, concerning vigilance of pardoned sinners. Question and answer 64. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? By no means. For it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Objections to salvation by faith alone. First, concerning merit of good works. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? If someone asks you a question, then you know what's in their mind, right? And if this question now is asked, then we know immediately something about the questioner. We know something either about his state or about his standing in the way of grace. In other words, children, where a person is on the narrow way, because the narrow way, and that is a pathway that is being walked, and a person needs to come in the beginning of it, and he comes to certain places, and then there are certain way marks. He say, where is that person now standing when he has come upon that narrow way? And this question is revealing something then about this person and what is in his mind. If a man asks for a candle, what do you know about him? Well, you say, I know that he is in the dark. Right? Because if he was in the light, in the sunshine, then he is not going to ask for a candle, because that candle would be useless to him. And thus, if a man asks, why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? What do we know of him? Well, we know that he is standing in the dark. In the dark. That might be the darkness of nature, because we are born in the dark. Do you ever feel that? That there is no light to see. The Bible says that such a man, that his eye is not single. His eye is not single. So what are our eyes for, boys and girls? That is to let in the light. And now the Bible says, if our eye is evil, well, that is what is letting in the light. So if our eye is evil, the Bible says, then our whole body is full of darkness. Then we cannot see rightly. Then our whole body also is going to be full of evil. And then the Lord Jesus says, how great is that darkness? So their eye is not single. What does it mean for your eye to be single? That is, that it is simple, that it is sound, that it is simple to evil. So a single eye does not slither like a snake. You ever see, children, how a snake gets from here to there? It's never in a straight line. It's always like this. But a single eye goes straight. What is an evil eye doing? An evil eye is looking at where he wants to come, and then he is trying to figure out how he is going to get there by whatever means he needs to use, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He is going to try to come to his end. Now that single eye, that is just on the step that is directly before him. And then he says, may I take this step? Is this a good step? Is this a moral step? Is this the step that the Lord will have me to go? And so then that man, he is not slithering to get to his end. And now, by nature, our fallen will, the desires and the choices that we are making, is calling, the Bible says, evil good. And it is calling good evil. What a great darkness. The Lord Jesus says the time is coming that that man that killeth you will think that he doeth God service. When he slays you, he will deem that he has done a good work. He will think that he needs to be rewarded. That will be his righteousness before God. How great, Christ says, is that darkness? For why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? So is that a question that reveals automatically that that person is unregenerated? No. It could be. But it also could be that the Lord, congregation, has given to him a new heart. In our natural slumber, in our death sleep, you ever feel that? Say, it is a death sleep. Oh, could I only be awakened out of my sleep? Could I only be given a heart that is flesh? In that death sleep, we are not so concerned, as our fathers speak about here, about our righteousness before God. We are often oblivious to it. We are like a drunken man, or a man, the Bible says, who is asleep on a mast, on a ship. The Apostle Paul, he says, awake. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, he says, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, if the Lord will awaken us, and raise us from the dead, then we are going to become concerned about our righteousness before God. Thus, how is it with you? Were you ever concerned about your righteousness before God? Do you know what David says? He says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You ever do that, children, young people? To make haste. You say, I must be quick to turn away from my ways. David says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. That is conversion. That is turning. That is a blessed thing. May you experience that in your life. A blessed thing that is to return unto the Lord. And what are our thoughts then? Such a man's thoughts. Are they not this? What our fathers are saying here. Why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? That is living in the heart of such a person. Then he wants to please the Lord. And with all that he is doing, he wants his good works, at least if it's not in the whole, at least that they may be in part his righteousness before God. Thus we say it is important. Why? Because there was not just in the Roman Catholic Church, but because the Roman Catholic Church is in our heart. That is in our heart. Do you know that this is revealing something? It is revealing something about that people. If indeed the Lord has given them a new heart, then it is revealing something about where that they are standing on that path that is leading unto life. You know what that is revealing to us? That they have not yet seen the sun. That they have not yet seen the Son of Righteousness. When they say, why cannot my good works be the whole or part of my righteousness before God? Then he is yet in his darkness. And he is trying to maintain a flicker. The flicker of a little candle. Of the righteousness which the Lord actually is giving unto him. When he receives a new heart from the Lord. You know what the Lord needs to show him? What our fathers say, that the righteousness which can be approved of before the tribunal of God must be absolutely perfect and in all respects conformable to the divine law. Oh, how many of our errors in our heart are not because of lack of knowledge, especially lack of knowledge of the perfection of the attributes of God. Isaiah says, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King." Did your eyes ever see the King? Job says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye see thee." Wherefore he says, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and in ashes." Do you know what the Lord says? "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them." Do you believe that? No, we don't believe that. Because otherwise we would not sit here so easy. Cursed. But we will believe it if our eyes see the King in his majesty, in his holiness, in his justice, in his perfect righteousness, and the demand of the King, when we will have to stand before him, then we will indeed believe this. You know what's going to happen? Then that candle, the flickering of that candle, is going to be blown out. With one breath, that will be by the wind and the storm of the wrath of God, blown out that little candle in one moment. That is what happened on the way to Damascus. A righteousness was blown out, a flicker. Tried to maintain this, and at one moment it was gone. It's not always gone in a moment, because the Lord is doing that sometimes one way and sometimes another way. But for every single person, all that self-righteousness that must be completely blown out in all respects, conformable to the divine law. Ah, did you ever come to a despair of your self-righteousness? Sometimes it takes years. Why? Because we hang on. And we hang on. And why do we hang on, congregation? Because skin for skin, all that a man hath he will give for his life. And we don't know another way. Boys and girls, Reverend Spahn's used to tell a story about a father who was reading Isaiah 64 to his family. And then it says there that we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that boy was listening. Do you listen? Do you listen? And your father or your mother reads the Bible. Do you hear what is said? Do you think about what is said? That boy thought about it. He said, "Father, stop. because you have read it wrong. It should not say all our righteousnesses. It should say all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rag. You have read that wrong. Then the father had to explain to him that he had not read it wrong. That is exactly what the Bible says. And that is now the lesson, a most difficult lesson for our heart to learn what our Father's saying, and also that our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Not our worst. No, he says our best. That is all our most religious duties before God. Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He says, except your righteousnesses exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, if we could imagine for a moment that we could live just perfect. If we could now just live perfect from today on. Then congregation, what would that help? Because we think we can then earn something with such a life. But we can never. Now why not? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, because then you have only done your duty. You have then done what is your duty to do from now on. What about the past? We think to make up with it. But he says it can make up for nothing. If it was from this moment on perfect, or if the Lord grants us a small beginning of that obedience, whose credit is it? Whose credit is it? Is it ours? Or has the Lord given it? Is that not why Paul says, and that the Lord leaves man without boasting? Can that little flicker that the Lord gives to his church, because there's a small beginning. There's a small beginning of that righteousness in that people. Can now that little flicker of that little candle after regeneration, can that now compare in any way unto the perfection that the Lord is requiring of his people? Good works, congregation, are the effect of justification. We heard about that last time. Good works are the effect. That is why we speak about them now, after we spoke about justification. They are the fruit of it. If they are the effect of it, then they are not the cause. They are flowing out of it. How can they go before it? And if they can contribute to it, then I do not need the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I do not need a Savior. That is, that I am standing among those whom the Lord says, and that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if I must contribute therewith, then I cannot be saved. Paul could not be saved either. Why not? What does he testify of himself? He says, because I find in me a law that when I would do good, he says, evil is present with me. Do you have that law too? Do you have that law also within the disposition of your own heart? Let us sing a moment. 137, 4, 5, and 6. I will receive from out thy fold no offering for my holy shrine. the cattle on 1,000 hills, and all the forest beasts are mine. Each mountain bird to me is known. Whatever roams the field, I own. 4, 5, and 6 of 137.
Thank you.
What? Do not our good works merit, which yet God will reward in this and in a future life? What is that? That is an objection. You say, well, this is supposedly in the Bible. Often the Bible speaks about rewards. Solomon speaks about those rewards. He speaks about the judgments of the Lord. He says they are true and righteous altogether, and in keeping of them, you hear that, young people? In keeping of them, there is a great reward. What did Boaz say to Ruth? The Lord recompense thy works, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That is what we read here also of Asa. It says, be strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Thus the Roman Catholic Church says to us, see, God, it's written in the Bible, will reward works in this and in a future life. You say, is that true? Indeed, that is true. That is written in the Bible. We cannot deny that. David, he says, verily, truly, surely, there is a reward for the righteous. And young people and children, I hope you always remember that. Verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Is the Roman Catholic Church right then? No, why not? Because they don't say only that, but they say more. They say, if then there is a reward for those works, then they say that reward must have been merited. It must have been earned. And that part, congregation, is wrong. Why? Because merit and a reward are often connected, but they are not necessarily connected. They are not always connected. So merit is something that is tied to justice and equality. If you young people, you work for a farmer or your employer, you say, I have worked all day, and then you expect that he gives to you something that is equal in value to the amount of time that you have spent on his behalf. That is because you have merited it. That is a matter of justice. So that if he does not give that to you, then you say, well, you can seek justice. My employer, he has not paid me the thing which he owes to me, because I have earned it. And that is now merit. But rewards are not necessarily, sometimes, but not necessarily tied to equality and to justice. So that they are often arbitrary. They are just given to someone. Sometimes it is just a political reward. Sometimes it is just a symbolic thing. So it is something that is lacking proportionality. There's no proportion that has to tie what you have done and what you are receiving. So David, he says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Well, congregation, what proportionality can there be between anything that someone has done and such a reward? A child, a life, to be given unto us. You say, there is nothing that can equal this, that is not something that can be earned. And so that is now also with the reward that the Lord is promising upon obedience. Our fathers say, this reward is not of merit, but of grace. They say there is no proportionality between what is done, what the work is, and the reward that is received. How can that be proportional? Because the gift for that work is so far above in value than that work. Thus, you know the parable, children, of the laborers in the vineyard, right? The one worked all day long. And then the others less and less. And one is only there for just the last part of the day. And then everyone is receiving a penny. Everyone is receiving that same gift. What does the Lord Jesus say? It is not of merit. No. He says, but it is of grace. It is a reward. There is no proportionality. You say that will make a man lazy. Will make him lazy. Is that so? That is our second thought concerning vigilance of pardoned sinners. But doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? Aren't rewards incentives? Boys and girls, if you are in school and your teacher says, I want you to do this thing, and then setting a goal that is so high that you see that there is no way you can do it. So that is impossible. What are you going to do? You going to try? So now I sit down. I don't even try because I know I cannot come there. And now we just read about who? Here we read about Asa and Judah and Benjamin. And we read for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. Yeah. Is that so with you too? Without the true God for a long season. How will they make amends for that? Where shall they begin to make that right? You say that is impossible. But then we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon his servant, Azariah. Then he says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. So what does he do? All that departure that has been for so long a time, that is all laying behind them because of their own guilt, the Lord departing. And now the Lord says, as it were, this I set aside. If ye will seek him, he will be found of you. So there is no proportionality between what the Lord is asking them to do and the reward that the Lord is going to give unto them. And now, boys and girls, you read it again when you come home and you see the great encouragement that was for Asa and for Judah and Benjamin. What do we read? We read, he took courage. He was not discouraged by this. It was the opposite. He was encouraged. And he put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. Were you ever encouraged to? By that same word of the Lord. When you may perceive what the Lord says in His word. That He says to you, I know. That with your whole life, you cannot make it right. That is impossible. That is much too high. But if you will turn, if you will turn, if you will forsake that way that you have been walking, if you will now walk in a new way, that the Lord says, I will forgive it all. I will forgive it all. Was it ever, congregation, an encouragement to your soul, young people, to encourage you to leave, to depart from that vanity and that carnality that Satan is drawing us with, you and me and all of us, to leave that pathway? Did the Lord ever draw your soul with this? Did you ever feel something of the goodness of the Lord, the long suffering of the Lord, and what He is willing to forgive and to pass by on account of the death and the suffering of His only begotten Son? What He is willing to pardon if you may but turn away from your sin. That it ever make a tear to roll down your cheek when you are laying in your bed at night. And to think of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, did that goodness of the Lord ever lead you, congregation, unto a true repentance? By no means. By no means. For it is impossible that those who have been implanted into Christ by a true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. It is all coming out of a heart of love. A heart that is filled with gratitude unto the Lord. That is the way the Lord works. Then He draws that out of His people. Oh, that slander. The slander of the Roman Catholic Church against that true Protestant doctrine, that doctrine of the Holy Scriptures, justification by faith alone, that slander of the devil, that is simply not true. To be careless and profane, that is, congregation, the character of the wicked. It is not a doctrine out of God's word that makes them so. They are so. That is their own character. But they want to blame it on that word of God. The true church does not only desire to be justified, to be forgiven. The true church desires to be sanctified. They are looking for the beginning of salvation. They are striving that they may live already here below in that warfare, that they may live already without sin. It is love. It is gratitude that is drawing their hearts onto that blessed obedience. And then the Lord is so good that He is attaching to that obedience a reward. Even the true church, they can be sometimes so sluggish. And then the Lord is drawing with His unproportional rewards. Oh no. Good works, they can never merit anymore. Congregation, they don't need to. They don't need to. Because the meriting is all done by His only begotten Son. Ah, that salvation of His church that has already been fully merited. Was there ever a wonder to your poor soul? And yet good works are necessary for salvation. You say, how can that be? That seems to me to be completely contradictory. And yet it is true. Because the Lord Jesus, He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But He says, he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Is then that doing a meriting? No. Do you know what it is? It is an evidence. That doing is an evidence. And that is why they are necessary. Because if they are not there, then we have evidence that there is no grace of God in your soul. If we can walk, congregation, in the midst of this world with no evidences, that is, in our conduct, in ways of immorality, then we lack the evidences, that is, the good works that are necessary to evidence, to manifest what the Lord is working in the heart of His people. What a prophet, my brethren. James says, if a man say that he have faith and have not works, he says, can faith save him? Can faith save him? That is, can the profession of faith save him? Can his words save him? He lacks the evidences. But wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You say Abraham was justified by works? How is that? Doesn't it say Abraham was justified by faith? James says Abraham was justified by works. Which one is right? They're both right. But they both speak about something different. By faith, a man is justified before God. But by works, a man is justified before men. That is, you and I, in reading what Abraham has done, then we may see, yes, that is now a man who had that tender fear of God in his heart. Ah, could I have it too, Lord? That same tender fear of God as Abraham, it is manifested. Congregation, salvation, the salvation of the church of God, that is by faith alone. Paul says, by grace, through faith, that is our only hope. As fallen, miserable creatures. Do you know that salvation of the Lord that is tailored? You know what a tailor is? Children, a tailor made that beautiful suit or that beautiful dress that you have on, maybe shirt, and it just fits, right? That's what it means to tailor. We take your measurements. And then we make a piece of clothing that is not too big and not too small, but it just fits you perfectly. Now that salvation of the Lord that has been tailored by the Lord to just fit whom? To just fit a poor sinner. That is a guilty sinner. polluted sinner, a corrupt sinner, a poor sinner who cannot change, who cannot change his own heart. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. O Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I will. Be thou clean. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verily, I say unto you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. They brought unto him all the diseased, and they besought him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show us our sin. Give us to know it to that degree that is necessary to humble us, to stoop to touch the hem of thy garment. Oh, leave us not to go our own way. In our pride and standing until we have come to the last moment of our life, never learn to bow and to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. O bless thy word for a moment this afternoon. Be thou the after speaker. How we may see thy servant also in our midst. Lord, help him also in the preaching of thy word from Sabbath unto Sabbath day. And give thy spirit's power to adorn the institution of the ministry which thou hast given in order to bring in thy church. Increase the number of thy truly sent servants and keep us on every side. Bring us safely home. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt thou help each one of us in this week? There is much traveling that must be done. Our brother elder, others, Lord, care for each and every one to and fro. Watch over us for good, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 141, 1 through 4. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1 through 4 of 141. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.